You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Father, we love you today. You are an awesome Abba God. You are our Heavenly Father. We have learned so beautifully that you are our Father. We are your children, your sons and daughters, and you have lavished your love on us. And so we thank you that in that place we can find great assurance and great hope and healing and freedom and all those things, God. Would you continue to help us to understand better who we are even today? Would you help us with the power of your word entering our minds and our hearts today and transforming us? Would you help these truths to sit deep inside of us and bring change and give us a new sense of identity and hope and courage and direction today? I pray, Lord, that all that we are doing in this series of identity will bring you tremendous glory and honor, but it will also bring us tremendous freedom and joy and assurance, God. So build our faith today through your word, Father. Let me, as your servant, decrease in order that you might increase through me. And I humbly submit myself to you today to serve these people in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes God really has ways of humbling us when we think we are something. I don't know that I was thinking I was something, but I was very excited about this message this morning, and I was typing up the scriptures for Pastor Dave, and all of a sudden my computer did this strange thing. I'm not very computer kind. I'm not a computer kind of person. And by the way, this is not like a disclaimer, so don't think I'm trying to excuse myself here this morning. I'm not. I'm believing that God's going to do something amazing because my computer ate my sermon this morning. Like it ate it. I mean, like it took it. It's like it just grabbed it and it took it and it went boo and it turned off. And then when I turned it back on, my sermon was gone. And that was late in the morning. So I'm going to do this off the cuff here this morning with you and see how we go here, all right? So this should be, I hope you're still applauding at the end of this message today. That will determine whether or not this has been a good day, okay? But I don't like those pastors who get up and say, well, we're spirit-filled and we're just going to flow with the Spirit, and so whatever the Spirit says, that's what we're going to do. You know, that's flying by the seat of your pants because you didn't do anything. All right. I don't like that kind of stuff. I like to be prepared. So this is a stretch for me this morning as we get started. But I want to talk to you some more and in all honesty, again, answer the question that we're posing to you. Who are you? All right. And Pastor Dave did a fabulous job last week of telling you who you are in that you are a child of the Father. And that was a beautiful, beautiful message, and man, it grabbed my heart deeply, and I loved it. Especially, several of us were talking about it in our life group this week when Liv was up front and said, "That's my daddy," and you know, I want all of us to feel that way about God. You know, that's my dad, that's my daddy, that's my father, and have this sense of connection to God. In such a way that we can see ourselves as His children. But there are several other identifiers or phrases that we would like to bring to you to help us in understanding who we are. And the one today is that we're going to answer that question by saying, you are a new creation. You are a new creation. And we really want, we very much want you to find great joy in that. Great satisfaction in that thing. So let's start in 2 Corinthians this morning, and let's look from chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17 and part of verse 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And he expounds even further on this and says, the old is gone, the new has come. Let's look at verse 18, just the first part of that verse. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Isn't that powerful? You are a new creation. The old stuff is gone, and it's all new, and that's been done through Jesus Christ. And God did this for you. Your Father did this so that you could be sons and daughters and he could have relationship with you. So today the big message of the day is you are a new creation. All right? Now, here's the thing. We oftentimes walk out of here and we feel old. We feel like we're still the old man or the old woman. We still feel like we're back there somewhere. And so we regress. We fall back into old patterns and old habits and old mindsets. And then we find ourselves very condemned. We find ourselves very shamed because the pastors just told us we're new and we're fresh and there's something exciting about us and God's done this amazing great thing, and yet we find ourselves prone to sinful behaviors and we go back and fall into old mindsets and old habitual ways of living life, and there we get this kind of attack upon us from the enemy who says, see, you can't do it, you're no good, you're bad, you're defective, you're never going to make it, you can't do this, this is impossible. All those kinds of things start going around in our head, and there's this internal conflict that goes on that just kills us. You know, it just tires us and wearies us all the time. And I don't want you and I living that way. I don't want us living out of this idea that I am a constant failure, you know, that I can't do this thing. And so this morning we want you to grab a hold of this particular passage of Scripture, and we're gonna tell you talk to you about some other things. But I want you to grab this morning and hang on to this. You are this wonderful new creation. All right. A matter of fact, if we go back into the Old Testament, if you look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 26 and 27. This is one of my most favorite passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. God says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27 says, and then I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now let me explain this thing about moving us. How many of you have been to a concert or a movie or maybe even a wonderful theatrical production, or maybe you just heard a song on the radio, you know? Or maybe you just saw a child do something that was innocent and beautiful and just spoke a powerful message to you. And either you said or you heard someone say, wow, man, that moved me. You know? Now, I have moved my children. Lord, help them. You know, I have taken my children when they were younger. I've tried to do it lately, and it doesn't work very well. But I have moved my... No, you... yeah. Or I would grab my son when we go to the zoo, because, you know, we took our son to the zoo once, and I was holding him. He was small. This would be our oldest son, Braden, who's now 22 and a Marine, but at that time he was probably about 2. And I was holding him in my arm, and my wife is in front of me. Her back is to us. She turns around. She looks at me, and she goes, and I look, and I follow my son, and his entire arm is up inside the mouth of a giraffe. You know, it's just like he's up in there somewhere, you know, and it's like, no, the old guy at the zoo goes, it's all right, he ain't got any teeth. You know? I don't care. I don't want my son's arm up in the mouth of a giraffe. You know? I was like, no, you know, I moved him. That's not, God is not going to come down every time sin intercepts your life or a temptation comes your way or an old habit presents itself to you. God isn't going to come down to you and grab you and say, no. Now you stay there. You have this lovely free will that is given to you by God. Because see, God, above all, knows that His grace is sufficient. And so He doesn't force you to live a certain way. But He gives you this new identity to help you to desire to live that way that is within His image and His likeness. And that leaves law behind. And it ushers in a life-giving experience where we are no longer under that law, we're no longer condemned by that law, but we are in the place of freedom and in the place of grace, and that is where we want to live. That's where I want to take you. That's where I want you to live. You have a handout with you today. Hopefully you got a handout. If you didn't, if you raise your hand, Wendell would be happy to give you a copy of this handout. God moves us, all right, according to this passage in Ezekiel. He moves us to serve Him. He moves us to come to Him, to draw close to Him. He says, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. There's this dynamic that is going on, I think, personally, where God is always drawing us. God's Spirit is always wooing us and drawing us in. And I want you to somehow today begin to see yourself as that new creation that is always being drawn by God. And that may take some shifting. Pastor Dave did a beautiful job last week of explaining how sometimes we have to tear the image off of God that we've put there. And sometimes it's the earthly dad who's been abusive or harmful in some way. But maybe there's other images that you have of God that are not right. They're not biblical. And so you have to get those images out of the way and begin to see God right. But that's the starting point, is seeing God right. But then it's important that you see yourself right. All right? That you don't have a false image of yourself. And so if we can, for just a few minutes, I want us to try to see ourselves just a little bit and see what we are made up of, if you will. And talk to you about this idea that you and I were created by God, and we were like Adam, and then the fall came and some things happened, but God had this plan for us, and out of that plan, He redeemed us and made us this new creation that we are in Christ. But then we come to this place of living that out, and living it out is challenging. It's difficult because that old sin nature wants to rise up. That old sin nature wants to come back, if you will. It wants to have a place. It wants to have some kind of preeminence, if you will. And I want us to see that we have been made whole, and all of us has been made whole. Whole in God, all right? And God's Word makes it very clear that as humans, we're made up of different systems. There's systems in us. And 1 Thessalonians says that there's a prayer there, and that prayer is that our spirit, our soul, and our body would be preserved complete. So there's these components being identified there. And there are other passages in the Bible that allude to this idea of distinct components that make up who we are. Deuteronomy chapter 6:5 is also quoted in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. And in chapter 22, verse 36 through 38, and there it talks about how we are to love God, and we're to love Him with our heart, with our soul, with our might, with our mind. So these are components of us, if you will. Now, there are some people that will argue that there are only two parts, that we're a two-part system, and that is that we are material, you know, what we see and feel and all of that, and immaterial, that is spiritual and eternal. And others will suggest to you that we are made up of three distinct parts, and there are differing views here, but I gave you a little simple diagram here of the three-part man, okay? And that is the man who is spirit, who is soul, and who is body, all right? And so we have this kind of flesh body, if you will, and It is amazing. It's intricate. It's complex. It's remarkable. Once that union of sperm and egg begin that process of creating a human being, there's this just plethora of unending miracles that begin to happen as a body is formed. It amazes me every time one of our couples has a baby, and we seem to be in that season of having babies. I said to someone this morning, I've never seen so many like women with big bellies, you know, in a church. You know, it's like I don't know if they planned it, but I was out there, and all three women like almost simultaneously came through the little room out here when I was standing there. Now, when maybe this is a guy thing, but when a pregnant lady walks by, you kind of like, it's almost like you want to move out of the way. I don't know what it is about that. It's just, you know, guys help me here. I mean, you see more of that woman than you ought to see, maybe. I don't know. You know, it's just, I don't know how to explain it, but that's me, but maybe, I'm messing with myself here. I had three pregnant women in the same little room with me, and I was like, ooh, you know, you're doing this, kind of a thing here, but I've never loved my wife more than when she was pregnant. I've never thought her more beautiful than when she was pregnant. And when that baby came and they put that little baby in my arms, I was like, I've never felt so close to God. You know, I've never been so scared in my life either. You know, it's like, can I be a father? Can I raise this child? Can I really do this? I mean, talk about identity issues hitting you. You know, I went wild with it, you know. But at the same time, it's like, man, this is creation. This is life. And I saw that little body, and I was like, wow, man, God, you are so amazing. And so I don't want to diminish the value or the practicality of a human body, but this is a house, folks. This is something that carries us about. This is a vehicle for God to dwell in, all right? And you know, we put so much emphasis, and I understand that working in a gym and teaching circuit classes and things like that, I understand the emphasis that people put on this body and not only keeping it healthy, but keep it looking good, you know, and needing to look a certain way and all that kind of stuff. So I have a great appreciation for the body, but there's so much more here than just body, all right? And so I want us to look at this idea that God has created us in such a way that He desires to have relationship. He desires to have intimacy. He desires to have connection with us. And so we're more than a body, you know? We're more than this housing that we have here. This body is given so that we can relate to the world around us, really, all right? I love a passage in the Living Bible, Psalm 139:13. Most of you know it, but let me read it to you out of the Living Bible. It says, God made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous. And man, that's awesome, isn't it? God is the hand of creation. And so this body is fantastic. There's no doubt about that. But the body's job is simply to allow us to relate, if you will, to our physical environment and to dwell in it. It allows me to internalize all sorts of sensory input and all that kind of stuff, you know. There's a picture of my body on my driver's license, but that isn't who I am. I mean, that's what I look like, you know. When the police officer stops me for speeding, he doesn't look at my driver's license and ask me all kinds of questions about who I am. He looks at that picture to see if it looks like me. He's interested in this external look, if you will. But that's not who I am. Now, the next time you get stopped, don't try to impress the police officer by trying to tell him who you are. You know, that's all he has an interest in, but not God. That is, God is interested in connecting with you. God is interested with engaging you. And so there's this component of creation in us called the soul. And that is the ability to relate to others better. And to be able to allow us to relate in this world. It allows us to relate to ourselves even. You know, we go with feelings. And these feelings help us to understand what's going on inside of us, if you will. And the body relates to our surroundings. And our soul gives us the ability to relate to those in the surroundings, if you will. All right? And it makes us self-conscious, if you will. It gives us the ability to relate to others in more deep and meaningful ways. My wife and I relate out of an emotional context all the time. We relate out of feelings. We relate out of desires. We relate out of circumstances. My wife and I can be in the world and we can be looking at something and we can see something that kind of trips the love trigger in both of us, you know, and we just move closer to each other, you know, and we start relating not just out of touch and out of sensory, but we start to relate out of heart and out of emotion and even out of passion. That's why some of you are having babies here. Gosh, come on. We're human. Let's be real. Let's be honest. I know some of you came out of churches that you can't even say pregnant in and things like that. You know, that's okay. I understand that. I respect that. That's okay. That's right. That is not who we are. Okay. All right, let's go back to corporate identity for just a minute. We are a corporate humanity who's trying to follow hard after God. And we need to understand that the creation, us, we have been given this complex body with a soul and with a spirit. And the purpose of that is to engage one another and engage God. And as God engages us, He intends that we engage one another. And God's got some specific purposes for us as His people. And in the midst of all of that, He's given us joy and fulfillment through one another in terms of relationships. And for husbands and wives, He's given us deeper, more intimate relationships that meet the needs of our sexuality. We've been created this way by God. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be afraid of in this. And if we can begin to understand this identity that we have in Christ, I believe it will help in all of these areas of our lives. In due season here, in a couple of 3 months maybe, we're going to be bringing you some marriage enrichment stuff. And some of that stuff is going to get quite earthy. It's going to get quite pointed, all right? And it's got a different rating than G, okay? Let's just put it that way, all right? Because there are issues that we're going to talk about. We can't have your children in there when we do that, all right? But it's real. It's about us. It's going to be good. You're going to love it. You're going to have a better marriage because of it, all right? You're going to have a better relationship with God when you really understand your humanity. It's one of the most freeing things in my life is understanding my humanity. Beginning to embrace it and accept it and accept my weaknesses. And I think when we begin to understand how we are made, body, soul, and spirit, and we begin to understand our God and what He's done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, it's going to transform the way we live. It's going to transform the way we think. It's going to transform everything that we are about, really. Jesse Penn Lewis describes it this way. He says, the soul is the seat of our personality, consisting of the will and the mind and the emotions. All right? The soul stands between the spirit with its openness to the spiritual world and the body with its openness to the physical world. I love this part. Having the power of choice as to which shall control the entire man. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? We have this ability, all right? We have this ability to touch God. We have this ability to touch the world, but we have this amazing ability to touch God and for God to touch us. And that's the way He has created, all right? And this power of choice resides in the soul. For the soul is where we find these major components of decision-making that guide us every step of our way. And so there's all this stuff that's going on all the time, and there's choices out there that we have all the time. But listen, until you understand your identity, until you understand who you are, you will not make the right choices. That is one of the great dangers of not knowing who you are. I promise you, I assure you, I want to try to convince you today that if you begin to understand that you are a child of God, it will shift decision making. It will change how you make decisions and the decisions that you make. And here's the beauty. See, you don't have to live under some law. You don't have to live under some list of do's and don'ts. You don't have to live under some denominational plan. You don't have to live under some hierarchy out there. Law in and of itself is going to bring death. We're about life. Jesus says, I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. In other words, more of a greater measure than you can probably even comprehend. And that's the beauty of what God has done on the cross, is He has created us now new and fresh. How many of you love a fresh start? I know, me too. One of my favorite scriptures is His mercies are new every day. Fresh every day. I love that idea of fresh and new. All right? I get tired of old things after a while. It's like I want something new. I want something different. I love fresh starts. I love first of the year. I love January 1 because it's like, all right, got a new start. Got a fresh place here. And that's the whole idea of this series right now at the first of the year, is this idea of freshness. This idea of maybe even for some of you literally starting over. And for some of you, maybe it's this idea of truly becoming who you are. Of living an identity that you've never lived before because you never quite understood it. So there's this wonderful power of choice that resides in us. And every person has a will. That's the chooser. Every person has a mind. That's the place of the thinker. And every person has emotions. And that's the feeler, if you will. All right? All that is your soul. All right? And the whole idea is that allows you to relate not only to one another, but to God as well. But then there's this spirit side of us that is God's. That's that spirit man or that spirit woman. That's that place in us that is longing for God. That has this need to connect and to seek life God's way. You know, communicating with God, getting wisdom, getting guidance through the Spirit, being instructed, getting direction and guidance through the model of Christ, all right? Being able to evaluate and make decisions based on the authority of God's Word and those kinds of things. All right? That's where it comes out of the spirit man or woman in relationship with the Father, in right relationship with the Father. And that's what I want you to understand today. See, we can't get this place, we can't get this new creation thing lest we go to the cross. It is only through Jesus Christ. You don't get this through performance. You can't earn it. You can't do enough to get it. You will never do enough to get yourself saved and become a new creation. You'll never be able to work hard enough. You know what? You'll never educate yourself enough to be a new creation. Now, we're all for work. We're all for education. I'll tell you what. There will never be enough friends on Facebook to guarantee that you're a new creation. It's not going to happen through other relationships. It's not going to happen by being a better husband or being a better wife or being a better parent or being a better child or obeying more or reading enough scriptures or praying enough prayers or spending enough time working in the church or any of those kinds of things. It comes only through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, you and I, that He gave His only Son. And it is that giving of His Son and that receiving by faith that allows us to become new creations in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new is here. And that's the message today. That is where we want you to camp today. All right. Last week, we got you in touch with being a son or a daughter, and we camped you at the feet of the Father, and we encouraged you to wipe off any misconceptions and crawl up in His lap and snuggle up in there and love and be loved and have this relationship very intimately with the Father. And that's, we want that. But now we also want you to get up out of His lap and stand up and stand among those counted, the chosen, those of God, and say, you know what? Yeah, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. What the Father has done for me through Christ allows me now to live differently. And now, because of that, I can make different choices. I can do this thing differently, if you will. Now, see, at creation, we were significant. Man had a divine purpose, and that was to keep the garden and love God and live with God. And it was sure and it was safe. And all of man's needs were provided for. And we had this sense of belonging. We were in connection. You know, Adam was in connection with God the Father, the Creator. All right? And so it's this wonderful relationship, if you will. And then Eve ate the fruit and they sinned, and Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves and they tried to cover themselves and all that kind of stuff. And what that brought about into the world was a fallen world and sin. And the Bible says that we are like Adam because we are in Adam. And don't worry, what I just explained to you is God's answer for the failure of man. God had already begun a way out, and that was the cross. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came. And Jesus died. And He became the ultimate substitution, the sacrifice, if you will, for our sin. And so, man lived in a fallen world and began to suffer rejection and needing to belong. And man began to feel guilt and shame immediately and started to cover himself. And so man needed self-worth and the restoration of worth and value. And man began to understand his weakness and his helplessness and needed strength and self-control. And God said, I can do this through my Son. I apologize because I cannot talk about this and not feel it emotionally. This is it. Because you see, I'm one of those people who have suffered rejection. I've known what it's like to be left out, to be in the corner, to be on the outside looking in. I've known what it's like to not feel sure and confident, not to have poise and to feel as though even the best of places and situations have something unsafe about them. See, I know what it's like to want to belong so bad and feel like I don't belong. I used to just ask my parents all the time, are you sure I'm not adopted? Tell me, you can tell me the truth. I can take it. I can take it. Because I felt so outside of even my core family. I had this restlessness and this sense of wandering because I couldn't find a place to fit. I know those places. I know what that does to the psyche of a man. But I know what it is to find the fullness in Christ. And that's what God says. I'm going to send my Son. And I'm going to take care of the issues of rejection. I'm going to take care of insecurities and this lack of safety in the world. I know the world is still unsafe because it's a fallen world. But in this world, you and I can have a sense of safety that is in Christ. I'm going to run out of time for all the things I want to say to you. But I want you to understand the condition of my spirit, it determines my true nature. It determines the status of my relationship with God. And it can only be perceived by faith. By faith we are saved, not of works, lest we would boast and continue to be performance-oriented. You can't do it. Only God can. You are, through Christ, a new creation today. That's all I want you to leave here with today. We're going to talk about the law and grace. We're going to talk about saint and sinner. We're going to unwrap all this as we go along here. Right now, though, we're trying to build this thing up. And I want you today, I want you to come from this today understanding I am a new creation. God has done this for me. And so that's my testimony to you, is I know this place. I don't know it fully. And I'm going to tell you what, it is still challenging for me. And I don't want to mislead you in any way. I want you to understand something here that is very important to grab a hold of. And that is that you are a new creation, yes, but a new creation is not without conflict. Before I explain that, let me give you a word picture of something. Actually, I give it to you in two ways because Neil Anderson says it very nicely. He just says it that it's like you're like you got these two dogs all the time, and there's this black dog and this white dog, and they're at odds. They're opposing each other all the time, and there's evil there, and there's this sin nature that wants to work. And you are this new creation, all right? And that's not you. There is sin, but that is not you. That is not your identity, all right? And so there's this white dog, you know. There's this righteous, this saint that's trying to live this thing out. And there's this conflict that goes on and these battles that go on inside of us. Any of you identify with that? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, me too, all right? But on the reservation, we heard a story. And that story was that this old chief, he took his little grandson out by the stream, and he let him play in the rocks along by the water's edge. And the little boy got upset, and he said, you know, what's wrong? And he said, the other boys don't like me. They don't let me play, and they don't do anything with me, and they tell me that I'm stupid and all these kinds of things. And he says, and that does what? And he goes, it makes me angry. It makes me mad. And I want to hurt him. Just want to hurt him. And he sits down with the little boy by the stream. And he starts to draw this picture in some of the sand there. And he says, I know that anger. It's like a wolf. He goes, in my life, it's like I have two wolves inside of me. And one wolf fights the other wolf. And one wolf is filled with anger and hate and wants to hurt and do evil. And the other wolf is filled with peace and with love and harmony and wants to establish good and wants to care. And they fight. And he stops drawing and he looks at this little grandson. And the little grandson looks up at him and he says, Grandpa, which wolf wins? And Grandpa says, little warrior, the one that wins will be the one you feed. It'll be the one you feed. During the Civil War, the Battle of Atlanta, the Battle of Atlanta became such a huge, huge point of contention, such a valuable place. And both sides wanted to take Atlanta. And Atlanta was practically decimated because of this battle. But it wasn't because it was Atlanta. It was because Atlanta was a place where supplies could come in by rail. The issue wasn't Atlanta. Atlanta just happened to be the place. But there were supply lines. And both sides knew if they could keep their supply lines open, they could possibly win the war. But they also knew that if the supply lines were cut off, they absolutely could not win the war. There is a war that wages in the side of man, on the inside of man. And it will be determined, its victory, by the supply line. And if we are connected by the Spirit to God, we'll be victorious. If we feed the flesh, we'll lose. And that's the battle that goes on in man. We're going to talk more about this as we go along here. But I want you to understand something, that there's a part of you that has been created new. You are a new creation. Yeah, you're still in this old body, this old housing. And it still wants to do things and it still wants to sin. But God has made a way for you and I to rise above that. And I want to challenge us that we live out of that place, that we have a settled identity, if you will. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You're not going to be without a conflict. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, verse 18. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. Do you hear that? Boom, boom. It's going at each other all the time. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under what? The law. Hallelujah. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under that law. You're not living in condemnation. You're not living in guilt. You're not living in shame if you're not under that law. And that's what I want you to leave here today with, is this idea that I don't have to be condemned, because you're not. You don't have to live under condemnation. You don't have to live under guilt. You don't have to live under shame. Pastor, you don't know what I've done and you don't know what I'm capable of doing. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know. I know something better than your circumstance. I know something better than your situation. I know something better than your history. And you know what? I don't want your history. And you're going, yeah, God, I don't want it either. What I mean is, I don't need to know it. Because God is greater than your history. Get this. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Already knew your history. Saw you down through time and said, I'm going to send my son, Jesus, to die for your sins. Already done. Oh, God settled it. And now we need to settle this identity that we have, if you will. Scripture describes all humanity as being in Adam as a result of the fall. But we are born, yeah, with that fallen nature, but we are born again. All right? Augustine described it, the state before Adam fell. What is it? Posse Picari? Is that, did I butcher it terribly, Nathan? Is that okay? Posse Picari, all right, which basically means able to sin, all right? So in Adam, you're very able to sin. How many of you know that? You know you're able to sin. When I wake up and, I love that. When I wake up and, if you do this, it's like, yeah, I understand. If you do this, it's like, oh, yeah, I got it. You know, I know it, yeah. Okay, I'm one of these guys, okay? Oh, yeah, I wake up in the morning knowing I'm able to sin. In my old nature, that is a possibility. All right, it's there. It walks with me. You know, I have a little dog in my house that I don't like because I think he's demon possessed. It just drives me crazy because if no one else is there to entertain him, it's like no matter where I walk, he's like right there. He's right on my feet, and every once in a while I'll turn wrong, and he will not. Sense it right and will not negotiate right, and so I'm on him, and I'm all, you know, it's like, and I'm like, I know I can sin. Yeah. But then Augustine describes a different situation, all right? and is that after Adam fell, all right, Adam had the potential to sin. It was never not there. That's why sin came into the world. All right. But then Augustine described it differently after Adam fell. And that was that? Non posse noa peccare. Say it loud, Nathan. Please, help me. I'm struggling here.
Non posse non
peccare. Non posse non peccare. Not able not to sin. Ugh! It's like it's inevitable. You're going to do it. You're going to sin. Then Jesus comes into the picture. And you become a new creation. All right, what's the next one, Nathan? Oh, hallelujah. It is possible not to sin. All right, so you went from you could sin to you're not able not to sin. It's possible not to sin. Yeah, that is good. That is a good place. That is a great identity that we have in God. It is actually possible for you and I to not sin. Oh my goodness. That if you've got that identity and you begin to live out of that new creation, it's gonna make a difference in some of your decisions. God, let every man in this room who struggles with pornography on any level, the next time he is there, let him hear loud and clear, I am able not to sin. I can do this. And begin to live out of a Son of God identity because he's a new creation. Woo! That is good stuff. That's where we need to be. You guys who are doing things that you don't want to do. It's funny, I started to preach this series, and Pastor Dave and I got into this, and we weren't quite sure what all it was going to do and how it was going to be. Without any solicitation at all, more and more people are coming and talking about, this is my struggle, this is what I'm struggling with, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what's going on, kinds of stuff. You know, and the beauty is that there is no condemnation for people coming to us in that place because we have great compassion for you. Here's what Pastor Dave and I have learned, and many of you have already learned as well, is that we are human. We understand that we are weak. Here's why I can preach to you. I know my humanity. I'm going to do my best to preach truth to you. And most of the time, I'm going to hit the mark. Once in a while, I'm going to say something, and some of you are going to go, what was that? You know, I've listened to a couple of my sermons, and I said a few things. They weren't even in the Bible. They weren't in any book. I just made them up, I guess. I don't know. You know, I don't know what happened. You know, I made a statement. I'm like, oh my goodness. Let's pray to God that is never on a podcast anywhere in all the earth. You know, I was so thankful when we moved from little cassette tapes to CDs because all my early sermons are gone. They're gone. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. But God is not. God hasn't made any mistakes. And you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's where we're going to camp. That's where we're going to light today, if you will, this idea of being led by the Spirit, not under the law. Let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Anybody, you ever go through? Oh, my goodness. Somebody just goes, yeah, it's such a turmoil. Next verse. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Verse 17. As it is no longer, oh my goodness, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Wow. Verse 18.
I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good. It's in my heart to do good. I want to do good. I really want to do good. But I cannot seem to carry it out. All right, verse 19. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. All right, we got a sermon coming up about saints and sinners, but right now, everybody, look at somebody on either side of you and say, I'm a saint. Now I say, so are you. Now you understand some of the stuff that's been going around the church the last few weeks, you know. John Steinhaus, a man who used to shoot methamphetamines in his arms daily, who used to drink and do crazy, awful things and had a horrible life and was about to end his career. His business was down the tubes. Everything was on the end. He doesn't mind me saying this. He's given me permission to say this. I ain't going to come to your place and read your book, okay? No, that's not going to happen, all right? That old stuff, it's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. New creation. 2 years without drugs?
Yeah, 2 years.
Then you quit cigarettes?
Yeah.
How long with cigarettes?
Without? It's been about 4 months now.
4 months. So some of these behaviors that were self-destructive to him that he didn't want to do anymore, he's not doing them anymore. Is there like a temptation ever?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You know what? I'll be honest. It does. Some of those things cross the mind, but
yeah.
But,
and every once in a while, does life's experiences or situations or circumstances sort of like squeeze you a little bit to try to make you want to think that there's another way?
It's a daily walk.
Thank you. Okay, it's a daily walk. All right. Freedom is a daily walk. But that old sin nature is dead. A new creation is sitting on the front row of Life Church today. Hallelujah. All right? That is the power of God. That is the power of the cross. And that's why I want you and I to get to. There is sin that is going to live. It's going to try to dwell. It's going to try to make its way up. It's going to look. It's hungry. It wants to be fed. Cut the supply line in the name of Jesus. And live out of your identity of who you are in Jesus Christ as a son or a daughter of God. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me, Paul says, a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Next verse. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, John. All right? That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me say to you today, don't be afraid of your weaknesses. You are not the weakness. You are in Christ Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you. His power is there for you. And so, we don't delight in the sense that we brag about, or we revel in, or we cave into our weaknesses. We relish the fact that even though I am weak, even though there is this sin nature that wants to rise up, even though there is sin that is in my body, that is not me. That is not who I am. That is not my identity. I am weak. I have a human body. I've been created by God. But this body, the Bible says, is decaying. It's going by the wayside. It's diminishing with time. But the Bible says, but the spirit man can live and can rise up and can be strong. And that is where I want you living. Not occasionally. I play this game once in a while. It's called Spider Solitaire. Maybe some of you have heard of it. It's the biggest time waster in the entire world. Don't ever get hooked on it. All right? But once in a while, I will play. I actually took it off my computer so that I wouldn't use it, play with it anymore, and be tempted to do it. And then one of my children actually put it back on my computer, and I didn't take it off again. I just started playing it again. That's how addictive it is, you know. But you can't, if, you know, well, you can win if you play one suit, or you can win sometimes if you play two suits. I never do that. I always like challenge, and so I play four suits, and four suits is extremely complicated. You know, you win every once in a great while, you know. And so I keep playing Spider Solitaire. And I, you know, my wife comes in. I played it last night. My wife comes into the bedroom and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm playing a game." She goes, "You're playing a game. Are you winning?" And I go, "Nope." You know, and I just kept playing the game. No, I'm not going to win. I just kept playing the game, you know. It's like there's a part of me, there's this idealistic part of me that says, "Oh, you never know. I just might could do this. It's impossible." And I'm still thinking, I might could do this, you know. And then every once in a great while, I win. And if you win, it's amazing because fireworks go off in your computer. Literally. I mean, not really. But boom, 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 boom. And it'll just do it as long as you leave it there. They'll just keep going off because you won. You know, there's something really wonderful about that to me. Okay? So every once in a while, yay, I did it. I don't want to live my life that way. Not with God. I don't want to be victorious every once in a while. I don't want to live a life where I'm always looking, okay, I got to do this. I'm going to go do this, but I'm not going to win. I'm going to face this challenge today, but I'm not going to win. Now, every once in a while, I'll win, so I'm just going to go through life. And every once in a while, when I win, the fireworks will go off. Great. I don't want to do that. You don't have to do that. That isn't the way it's intended. That isn't what God has done for you. Let's not bring down the gift of God. All right, it has value, unbelievable, unmistakable value in that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We got to stop. Let's stand. Listen, there's a whole other segment, and I want to get more into it at some point. But here's what I want you to understand as we close today. All right, you have this wonderful freedom. Wonderful freedom. It's a great liberty that you have as God's creation, new creation. But in closing, let me sort of adhere to you, I challenge you something. I want you to understand that with this new creation freedom, there is indeed great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required, the Bible says. Paul says about this whole thing of being a new creation and not living under the law but living under grace, and that this stuff that we find ourselves doing is in sin, and that sin is not us. We are saints, not sinners. And out of that identity we'll live and we'll be different, all of that. But Paul says something in answer to all of that. He says, what? Do I just keep on sinning then? And then he says, no, I don't. I don't. This isn't a license for you to just go out and do whatever you want. It is so that you might begin to become the person that you are. And that is a child of God. And so I want to pray for this identity to come alive in you this morning. And change you dramatically. But at the same time, I want you to understand that there is responsibility. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that you will settle this identity in every person in this room. In the name of Jesus, I ask you today for a revelation of sons and daughters of the living God. Father, whatever lies have been believed, I ask you to demolish them in the name of Jesus. Literally disassemble every stronghold that is setting itself up through a thought process contrary to the very nature of God. Release every person from that in the name of Jesus. And then establish the true identity of a son or daughter. And then, God, I ask you for strength and courage for every person in this room to act on that new identity and to live accordingly. That as new creations, we will live as saints for which we are. And that by faith, that reality would become evident in our everyday lifestyles. And that will give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to talk to you about law and grace and saints and sinners and all that stuff coming up, and a few other things as well. So live who you are. All right, God bless you. Love you. Love being your pastors. Have a great week.